This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. As Congress and the nation considers a new nominee to head the Veterans Administration, the VA may have a new crisis to deal with. It's not about the health of veterans, but it certainly is about the billions of American taxpayer money spent to make sure veterans have an opportunity to return to productive jobs in the U.S. economy. We're talking about the GI Bill, or the version of it that was passed to deal with the soldiers coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq. The original GI Bill was passed 70 years ago and changed U.S. society broadly, getting American vets back to school after World War II. Colleges benefited, as did trade schools. But with all that federal support for education, there were also charges that institutions and trade schools milked the federal government for money, offering little more than dollar diplomas. That was the minority back then. Listen to this vet talking about his educational experience in 2014.
I definitely think it was a waste of my time. And definitely a waste of taxpayers' money. They're responsible for, as far as I'm concerned, Ashford University. They committed fraud.
That's veteran Patrick Keene. Well, Aaron Glantz, reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting, says his investigation has found a tax money bonanza for for-profit colleges. We also spoke with Suzanne Mettler, Cornell professor of government and author of Degrees of Inequality, How the Politics of Higher Education Sabotage the American Dream.
During World War II, Americans really wanted to do something for returning veterans once they came back home after the war. It was felt that World War I veterans had not received a very good deal from the federal government, and that it was time to really be more generous and to help these veterans to adjust to civilian life once again. There was great support in the Roosevelt administration and in Congress for providing educational opportunities. And the real difference was made by the American Legion, which came along and offered a much more generous plan that became the GI Bill. And it included the opportunity to go to college with government funding and stipend at the same time. And it also enabled veterans to pursue educational alternatives aside from college. And these were through what were then called the trade schools, vocational training programs.
So it allowed you to pick your career. It had enough resources devoted to it so that families were able to relocate to a college to actually live in the community where the college was, and it offered lots more choice. Is that essentially a fair characterization?
Yes, absolutely. It meant that for the first time in the United States, people who were a little bit older than just beyond high school age were going to college and on for vocational training. And they tended to already be married. Some of them had children. In 1950, at the average college, at least half of the students were veterans on the GI Bill. In the vocational training programs that emerged, they were the vast majority, up to 100%. It changed what education looked like in the United States.
Let's fast forward to post 9/11 and the Afghanistan war first and then the Iraq war. The numbers are different than for World War II, but what was the mission of the GI Bill that was passed to essentially accomplish some of the same mission of the World War II veterans? Aaron?
The mission of the post 9/11 GI Bill was much the same, that we as a country had seen really the collapse of this promise for the Vietnam generation, for the Gulf War generation. And as veterans started to come home from Iraq and Afghanistan on this really crappy GI Bill that existed during the earlier part of the war, veterans groups and members of Congress began to think that it was time to return to this very generous type of GI Bill that we had in the World War II era, where it really would pay for you to go to college anywhere you wanted in the country, and of course could really turn this generation of people who fought for our country into the, you know, future middle class and leaders of this country in the civilian world. But what we found in our investigation is that, you know, it's gone pretty horribly awry.
Well, let's take a look at some of the pieces that might have contributed to that failed set of expectations. First of all, the country and the economy had certainly changed between the 1950s and the early 2000s. The kinds of jobs that were needed and the competitiveness of educational institutions had changed. What impact did that have on the kinds of options that veterans coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan had available to them under this new GI Bill?
Well, I think the main problem that we saw is a real lack of any regulations or safeguards around this money. One thing that didn't exist back in the 1940s was large publicly traded for-profit college institutions that spend, you know, 30 or 40% of their money on instruction and put the rest of it into marketing and profit. You know, we found that with this post-9/11 GI Bill, the number one recipient is the University of Phoenix, which has received nearly $1 billion in GI Bill money, and that the number one individual campus in the country getting GI Bill money is the University of Phoenix campus in San Diego, California, which has a 15% graduation rate. It's received $95 million in GI Bill money over the last 5 years, which is more than the entire 10-campus University of California system.
So, Aaron Glanz, one possible explanation for that, and it's one that was given to you by Garland Williams, University of Phoenix Vice President for Military Affairs and a retired U.S. Army colonel, is that University of Phoenix is just a lot better at marketing.
The veterans have chosen us because of the programs that we offer. We have over 100 programs that we offer, and they have found the higher education goal that they've sought. Those programs lead to careers that they want to aspire to. So they have chosen us.
Do you have any evidence that it's actually leading to careers for these veterans?
The veterans have chosen us. Yeah, they have chosen to use their entitlement at the University of Phoenix.
Is there any expectation on the part of the relationship between the veteran and the federal money that they receive, that they graduate, that they demonstrate that the credential they're getting from any institution has had any subsequent value in getting them a job?
That's not a requirement. I think that that's one of the things that veterans advocates very quickly realized was a mistake in this generous new GI Bill in the years following its implementation in 2009. And as early as 2010, you started to see members of Congress introduce legislation, for example, legislation that would have banned unaccredited schools from getting GI Bill money, or legislation that would have forbidden schools from using this GI Bill money on marketing, that would have required them to use it on education. But the for-profit schools lobby is very powerful in Washington. And so when the veterans groups have gone back to try to fix what they see as loopholes, they've been stymied. And here in California, they don't even have to tell us if veterans are graduating.
So, Suzanne Mettler, were there abuses during the original GI Bill? I would think with all of that federal money going into higher education that there was an opportunity for individual schools and institutions to take advantage of this blank check that was being offered by the federal government back in the 40s and 50s.
Yes, absolutely there was. And this might surprise a lot of people. When we think back about the GI Bill today, the post-World War II GI Bill, we tend to imagine that it was entirely for veterans going on to colleges. But in fact, the vast majority of those who used it for education or training went to these trade schools, which sprang into existence overnight. There were already a few of them existing, some of the older ones like DeVry and Strayer, but thousands more emerged overnight. And very quickly, members of Congress and members of presidential commissions who were assigned to investigate these schools became very concerned that they were, in their terms, milking the system. Congress was very concerned that they were engaging in price gouging. They found that 58% of them were charging as much as they could to take advantage of the full GI Bill benefit, even though the value of what they offered was much less. And they were concerned that the value of the training was poor. Mm. And so as a result of that, once we got to creating the Korean War GI Bill, Congress engaged in regulation and insisted that these schools should be able to get no more than 85% of their revenues from the federal government through the GI Bill. And the other 15% had to come from other students who were paying their own way. And this same principle has been incorporated today into the use of the Higher Education Act Title IV money, which is our student loans and Pell Grant money and so on. But the important loophole to be aware of is that that threshold, which today has gone up to a 90-10 ratio, That threshold does not count what these schools use from the post 9/11 GI Bill or other military education related programs. So what that means is that the for-profit colleges have a particular incentive to try to recruit veterans, because that allows them to recruit even more civilian students who are getting federal funding.
Well, we're seeing two rivers of free money that are being protected by a vested interest called the higher education industry. And I want to play an interview that Aaron Glantz of the Center for Investigative Reporting did with LaTanya Johnson, senior education specialist with the California Department of Veterans Affairs. And here you see just how much the higher education industry has already benefited from the student loan bubble and definitely doesn't want anything to happen to this other river of money coming from the GI Bill. Listen.
Are you looking at whether or not the instruction is good?
No, that's not a part of the visit at all.
The University of Phoenix has been put on notice by its accrediting agency. Do you look at that?
No, that's not a part of the visit at all.
So when the accrediting agency finds that the University of Phoenix might have some problems with corporate governance, you look at that?
No, not at all.
Or any issues they might be having with the faculty not complying with certain regulations, you look at that?
No, that's a different process completely.
Aaron, what are they doing? Looking at the sanitary conditions of the restrooms?
Well, I mean, basically what they're looking at is to make sure that the government is not being built by the school by enrolling students who don't exist. They're making sure that the people are not being charged for classes that the veterans are not taking, or that the students who are going to school on the GI Bill are actually veterans. But as you heard in the clip, they're not asking any of the really important questions, which is this education that we, the taxpayers, are paying for any good? And is it worth the money? Part of that exchange with me and LaTanya Johnson was talking about the accrediting problems that the University of Phoenix is having. And remember, this school has received nearly $1 billion in taxpayer money through the GI Bill. Their accrediting body in June of last year put them on notice, saying that the school did not support student learning and effective teaching, that their faculty failed to meet certain standards, that their assessment of students was problematic. And I asked her, well, all of these major issues that the accrediting bodies pointed out, do you examine any of them? And the answer, no, 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 no. So, in her defense, she's not looking at those things because, nobody in Congress, nobody in the Obama administration has developed regulations that encourages these frontline workers to ask the important questions.
Well, let me ask you a tough question, Aaron Glantz. Is there no responsibility for veterans to determine the quality of the education that they're getting? And is there no responsibility of the Congress to put in some sort of accountability to oversee how that money is being spent? Sounds to me like I should have set up a college, called it John Hockenberry University, and made my own money off the whole Iraq and Afghanistan veterans GI Bill boondoggle here.
Yeah, I mean, you very well could have if you were so inclined. One of the things that we found here in California was that there are 121 schools with no academic accreditation at all. I mean, I'm talking about unaccredited dog training academies. I'm talking about unaccredited beauty schools where you can't sit for a cosmetology exam after we pay for you to learn how to cut hair. I'm talking about unaccredited welding schools where you don't really learn how to weld. I mean, it is awash in the most scandalous sorts of behavior, as well as having these big corporate players that we've already been discussing. So, when you talk to veterans who have been through this, they'll say, I should have thought more about the decision that I was making before I made that decision. But the real question that we have to ask ourselves as taxpayers, since we are the ones who are paying for this, is shouldn't we be doing something to protect our money from being wasted in this way?
Suzanne Mettler is a Cornell professor of government and author of Soldiers to Citizens, the GI Bill, and the Making of the Greatest Generation. And Aaron Glantz is a staff reporter at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Aaron and Suzanne, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.